Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Father, I would just ask that you would just put your blessing upon this gathering, upon these people. You would add a blessing to the reading of your word, that you would give us ready ears to receive your word, ready minds to receive your word. And Father, that you would give us the desire, Father, to speak your word that we might release to those in our lives, that we might receive, retain, and release your word, that we might be living epistles known and read of all men. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so today, this being our Christmas service, we have, like I said, a brief message, but it is something I wanted to share with you, and I knew we would have the kids in here today, so it's something that I think will minister to all of us. It's a little bit more reading because it's a story, but I am... I do think that you'll enjoy this morning. So we're going to begin in Luke chapter 1. And this is a passage that is seasonally appropriate that I know you have heard before. But it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, and because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all peoples. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you, that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So that's the traditional Christmas story that we hear. That's the story that we tell around, you know, our Christmas trees, our families. And that's the way that we... When we see the Christmas television shows and the Christmas movies, it all revolves around those 20 verses. That there's a tax, because of that they have to travel, and then they're out of town, and they're going to have a baby, and oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And there's not a room to stay in, we'll go do it there. And so they have the baby there, and then there's the shepherds and the angels, and the shepherds come and they see the baby. And that's the Christmas story as we hear. Right? Well, pretty straightforward. There's not a whole lot to it. I mean, there's a lot of messages you can drag out of that, but that's the Christmas story. And then kind of, the way we typically tell the story, this is where the timeline gets hazy, but we're not going to deal with that too much today, other than to say this was about 2 years later. Now, I want you to think, before I go to the verse, I'm going to say that again so that you can just take that, fold it up, put it in your pocket, think about that later. Because this is the next part of the Christmas story as we normally tell it. But this is actually about 2 years later. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people of Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men and inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go search diligently for the young child, not the baby, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, for there, and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him, and when he arose, he took the young child and mother by night and departed into Egypt. So, we tell the Christmas story casually about there's a tax, they go to Bethlehem, time for the baby, no room in the inn, have the baby over here, and they do. And then there's shepherds, and then there's angels, and the shepherds show up, and then while the shepherds are standing there, here comes the little drummer boy, here comes the wise man. That's our Christmas story, right? Well, wise man shows up 2 years later. Ish. Two-ish years later. Because what's the question? Think about it. What's the question that Herod has? When did this star show up? Right on. Go and find the kid, young child, as it says, right? Go and find the child, and then come back and tell me where he is. Wink, wink, and I'll come and, you know, worship him too. Well, the wise men, because they're not beholden to anybody, the wise men come and do their thing. Three presents, not three wise men, three presents. Lots of wise men, probably hundreds. Lots of wise men traveling in a caravan, but there were three presents, so I understand the three wise men thing. But anyway, right? And then the wise men leave and go home whatever way they went, but didn't go tell Herod. And then the dream comes to Joseph and says, get out of town, because Herod's about to get ticked. And what Herod actually does, if you continue to read the story, Herod says, those wise men tricked me. And they didn't come and tell me where the kid was. So all the boys in Israel under 2 years old, which is why they were in Egypt. Alright, so there's the real Christmas story. And I want to show you something out of this. I mean, so now we've talked about the Christmas story. We've done the thing we need to do to have a Christmas service. We've talked about the Christmas story. Now, the next thing we hear about Jesus, he's a young adult. 12, 13 years old, depending on how you take a couple of verses. He's 12 or 13 years old the next time we hear from Jesus. But the last couple of weeks, the last couple of Sundays, what we've talked about is how we interface with the world. How we, as believers, as Christians, as lovers of God, and children of Christ, how we interact with people. How we have an attitude of witness, and how we share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and Him resurrected, and how we share the story of salvation with people, and how important that is. That's what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. You know, the things that I hear most frequently when we teach those kind of messages about be a witness, share the message. message of Jesus Christ. Tell people to get saved. Talk to people about their salvation. The feedback I get as a minister and as a pastor is, I hear lots of words, but what people mean is, I'm not comfortable being a witness. I'm not comfortable talking about God to people. I doubt my ability. I don't have any confidence. I'm afraid I'm going to talk about Jesus. People are going to ask me a question I don't know the answer to. And then people have lots of reasons they don't witness. But what they're really saying, and if that's you, what you're really saying is, I don't feel good enough, or I don't feel qualified to share the word of salvation. I want to show you a couple of verses. In Luke 1, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, when we talk about the Bible and we talk about how we talk about how, we can back Revelation out of there too, I guess, huh? How we talk about, this is the part of the Bible that's about Jesus and about me and you and our relationship with God. This little part here at the back, that's about what happens either after we die or after the gathering together. And then this big meaty part of it right here is the part that tells us that Jesus is coming someday. And it always talks about Jesus as being a king, and Jesus being the Son of God, and Jesus being the mighty deliverer. And you know what? Where did the wise men go to find him? They went to the king. Oh, Herod, right? Matter of fact, I think this is our next verse. But no, that was the shepherds is the next verse. Anyway, so they went to the king to find this guy and he's born and there's a star and it's amazing, right? And then shepherds, they're in the same country, shepherds, abiding in their field, watching, keeping watch over the flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The first people to hear weren't Herod. The first people to hear weren't the wise men. The first people to hear wasn't, from a worldview, Caesar. Jesus wasn't born in a throne room, in a castle, or in the place of a king. Jesus was born in a type of stable. And the first people to hear weren't meaningful people. They were shepherds. Mm-hmm. And when the shepherds had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The first people to tell the story that the Savior is here were shepherds. Not rabbis, not priests, not King Herod, not the wise men, but shepherds. But I'm going out of order. The wise men showed up in Jerusalem trying to find him. Because even the wise men didn't know where to look. I mean, they were tracking a star, you know. I mean, where is this guy at? That away, right? You and I, it's awfully easy to look at our lives, look at the choices we've made and the mistakes we've made. And we see ourselves with our flaws and with our imperfections and with the errors and with our past. And we judge ourselves and we judge other people. people, and sometimes I think we give other people more credit than we should, and we give ourselves less than we should. And we make a judgment, and we say, it's not appropriate for me to tell you about Christ. I'm not comfortable doing it. But you know what? We judge ourselves as not being good enough. What we're not good enough for isn't that we're not good enough to share the word. The fact of the matter is, what we're not good enough for is what we received from God. We're not good enough to receive the forgiveness that we've gotten, the salvation that we have. But what we are is, we're the only ones who can share it. We're the only ones, in fact, who have ever shared it. Who first shared the message that Jesus was here? The lowest in the society, shepherds. When Jesus arrived, where did God place him? As an outcast with no room in the inn. There's a passage, and it's not in my notes. I didn't think about this before. There's a passage. But let's just say it this way. We talk about healing the sick. Those that are well don't need healing.
Right.
Those that are perfect don't need Christ. We are chosen as imperfect people to be the witness for that which is perfect.
Amen.
Because the people who need Christ are flawed. The only people they're going to listen to are people who are flawed. Don't see yourself for your flaws as being a weakness. That's what is our strength. Because you know what? I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven.
Amen.
And that has to be the attitude that we have. And just to show you that I'm not making this stuff up, there is a legit New Testament verse that talks about this. But God shows what the world considers to be foolish to shame the wise. And God chose what the world considers to be weak to shame the strong. God chose what the world considers low class and low life, what is considered to be nothing, to reduce what is considered to be something to nothing. God chose you from the foundations of the world to be his children. With your flaws and with your imperfections and with your shortcomings and with your weaknesses, God chose you. It is not for us to judge who God should choose. It's just for us to share the word and to share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and him resurrected. And there's no more appropriate time than this time of year when we sell. You know what? We get part of it right. As a society and as believers, we get part of it right. We give gifts to each other as the symbol and as the recognition that God gave a gift to us. The Holy Spirit. God gave us a gift. To celebrate that, we give each other gifts. That's great. But let's give the same gift. God gave Jesus Christ to us. Let's give Jesus Christ to others.
Amen.
And be the witness that we know we should be.
Amen.
Stay with me, please. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, once more, I thank you for bringing us together today. I thank you, Father, that as we have gathered together today, that we have heard your word. And that, Father, as we prayed earlier, we have had active ears to receive your word. We've had ready minds to retain your word. And, Father, as we go forth from here, I would ask once more that you would give us a desire and a boldness to be your mouthpiece, that we might release your word and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those in our lives. That, Father, that we might bring them to the same forgiveness and salvation that we share. That, Father, that they might experience in their life, as we have, the greatness of who you are. And so, Father, as everyone here chooses to make a move toward you, I would ask that you would move toward them, that you would strengthen them, that you would make them whole, that you would bring to pass your promises in their life. If you would all repeat after me, please. Father God.
Father God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I confess.
That Jesus.
Is the Lord of my life.
Is the Lord of my life.
And I will live. For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
According to God's standards.
According to God's standards.
I believe. With all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
And all of who I am.
And all of who I am.
That Jesus died.
For my sins.
And that God.
And that God.
Raised him from the dead.
Father
God, in Jesus' name, once more, I thank you for this day. Father, and I would just ask that as we go forth from here, that you would put a shield and a garrison of protection around these, your people, that you would bring us back together again, that we might once more fellowship and hear your word taught. And Father, as we vacate this portion of our service, and as we move to our fellowship hall, Father, to break bread together, I would ask that you would bless the food that we're about to receive, that you would let us be truly thankful for it, that you would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, and that, Father, that you would just bless us unto your service. And I thank you for all of these things, in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
I have one correction on